Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada. It's very nice to be here with all you wonderful devotees to observe and celebrate this wonderful occasion, the Disappearance Day of Srila Prabhupada. We hear that in regard to the great devotee's appearance, disappearance, they don't really make such a big difference. They don't really make such a big difference. And the example is given of the rising and setting of the sun, and then shortly afterwards the sun is rising again. So like this, the great devotees are not limited. They're not limited to many different material conditions. And even in their physical absence, they are present. And those who are very sincere and very dedicated to such great devotees, they feel their presence even when in material terms they may have departed. So like this, Srila Prabhupada, even though he left this world about 37 years ago, 37 years ago on this day, but we could be in his presence all the time, and we can keep him in our hearts, and in this way we can feel his presence, and it's very wonderful, it's very glorious understanding and feeling that he is such a person. He is such a person that he has transcended material conditions, and he has transcended those conditions for the benefit of the aspiring devotees like ourselves, who are stuck here in this material world. For us it's not so easy. But great transcendental personality, Srila Prabhupada, he is beyond the jurisdiction of material nature. And despite us not being advanced or not being very special persons at all, just struggling devotees, but he is such a person that he is able to be with us despite considerations of the material body and appearance, disappearance like that. And not only is he capable of transcending material circumstances, but he's so merciful, he's so kind, that even for us who cannot really claim that we have some great right to get the assistance of such a transcendental personality as him, but still he's such a merciful and wonderful person that even if people like us, he stays with us and he's helping us in so many ways from behind the scenes. And this is one of the most wonderful parts of Krishna consciousness. How we can feel the presence of Srila Prabhupada, and if we really focus on him and meditate, and in that way, in these ways, we come to feel his presence, then that is a type of proof, you could say, of what is Krishna consciousness, that Krishna consciousness is a transcendental process and a divine process. And it's not just some material type of philosophy, some clever ideas, some sort of ideology like that. But it is actually transcendence come alive for us, even here on this material platform. We can all have a relationship with Srila Prabhupada. We should know that. Some of us, of course, are actually initiated by Srila Prabhupada, like myself, Ramanujacharya Prabhu here in Durban, and Nandakumar Prabhu in Johannesburg. And, you know, a few others, maybe Prabhu in Cape Town, initiated by Srila Prabhupada, and of course, it is special and it's not to be minimized, but at the same time, anyone can have a relationship with Srila Prabhupada. Once one devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, if the spiritual master is present in the heart of the disciple, meaning Srila Prabhupada himself, and Srila Prabhupada replied, yes. If you let me enter, if you let me enter, and what does that, if you let me enter, mean? Well, of course, in one sense, we could say we have to open the door for Srila Prabhupada, but what does that mean? It means we have to really remember Srila Prabhupada, meditate on Srila Prabhupada, and serve Srila Prabhupada, and hear from Srila Prabhupada. If we focus on Prabhupada like that in very positive, very humble ways, then yes, Prabhupada will enter our hearts and stay within our hearts. So, let me see. I thought that this evening I could read a few passages from particularly one letter of Srila Prabhupada's, and maybe a couple of letters of Srila Prabhupada's. The first letter, the main letter really, was written by Srila Prabhupada when he first arrived in America. He had been there in that place called Butler, Pennsylvania. It is just some small town, some little American dorp. It's sort of nowhere in particular. But Prabhupada went and stayed there initially because he met one man, perhaps in either Delhi or Mathura, I forget exactly. He met one gentleman and told him that, yes, I'm intending going to America, but I don't know anyone there. I need a letter of sponsorship. And the man said, oh, no problem. My son is in America. And he's married an American woman, and so he can do it. That was Gopal Agarwal. Nowadays, of course, in America, and for that matter, so many places you go around the world, There are tons of people from India. There's just, in America now, there's, I don't know, it may be a million or maybe millions. And it's just growing and growing by the day. But then, this is 1964, 65 maybe. Prabhupada left in 65, so this is sometime before he left when he was just preparing. So maybe it was even 64 he met this man. And at that time, there were really very few Indian people in America. Very, very few. But somehow by Krishna's arrangement, this connection was made. And the man's son in America obediently sent a letter of sponsorship, not expecting that Prabhupada would come. But then one day, he opened his door, not exactly like he opened his door, and lo and behold, there was Srila Prabhupada. He knew Prabhupada was coming, but he didn't expect Prabhupada to come, and when Prabhupada arrived on his doorstep, then the poor man was really taken aback, and his wife, who was a real American young woman and had perhaps not met any Indian people other than her husband, and now here's the sadhu. So Prabhupada came, and he stayed with them just for a few days because he could see that they, particularly the wife, was uncomfortable with this very different person. So Prabhupada went to the YMCA, Young Men's Christian Association, and they have like not flats, just very simple accommodation, which they rent out sometimes to travelers and people. So Prabhupada rented a room in the YMCA, and during the day he would come to the house and spend some time. You may have seen some photos of Prabhupada in the Agarwal's house. So this letter, first letter at least, I read something from, it was written by Srila Prabhupada after he had been there for, it's like a couple of weeks. He was only in Nutland, Pennsylvania for 1 month, and then he went to New York and really settled into things. So it was within that first month, maybe first week or 2 weeks, that Prabhupada was there. Just the first couple of weeks he had been in America. And of course in those days India was very different from what it is now. And America, meaning India, was materially, you know, far less developed. Really, really far less developed. I remember when I went first in 76, you know, some years after Prabhupada left for America, I went there. And in Mayapur, you could not buy bottled water. What to speak of 7-Up, as we say sometimes in jest, Sat Upa. You couldn't even get water. There was a hand pump by the front gate, and that was the water supply for everything and for everyone. So, and nobody spoke English. Now you go there, at least in the cities, and literally every younger person will definitely speak English. And it's only really you get some older people, at least in the cities, and they can't speak English. So, but then, at that time, oh, who spoke English? Virtually no one. So India was really different, and Prabhupada was coming from Vrindavan, and Vrindavan was really like an ethnic, traditional, holy place. And then to New York, where Hare Krishna was unknown. And in one of the early letters, Prabhupada said that, yes, here I can see that people think that people who believe in Bhagavan are insane. In other words, Prabhupada had some experiences. You know, because he was very uncompromising, just wearing his devotee clothes wherever he went, wherever he dealt with. Okay. So anyway, this letter then, a couple of letters. First one was written just immediately after Prabhupada arrived, within maybe 1 or 2 weeks. I really don't think more than 2 weeks. And he's having this whole experience. It's just so different and so materialistic. So Prabhupada says, writing back to devotees in India, here, they are naturally attracted to Christianity, but they also like to listen to me. Since I came here, I've been lecturing every day, either in a church, school, college, club, or society. Their English is a little difficult for me to understand, because they pronounce words differently. And our pronunciation of English is difficult for them to understand. But the work has not stopped because of this. They don't dislike my English. They just struggle to understand it. In the Butler Eagle newspaper, which is one of the largest publications, Hare Krishna, in this village, Butler, they like my English. And together with my photograph, they had printed this article with the headline, "In Fluent English, Devotee of Hindu Cult Explains Commission to Visit West." And then Prabhupada quotes the story. That was the headline. Now the story which the newspaper presented. A slight brown man in faded orange drapes, wearing white bathing shoes, stepped out of a compact car yesterday and into Butler YMCA to attend a meeting. He is A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, a messenger from India to the peoples of the West, a Hindu by faith. The learned teacher has translated biblical literature, such as Srimad Bhagavatam, into English from ancient Sanskrit. He is now fulfilling a mission given to him by his spiritual master to enlighten English-speaking people about their relationship with God. So that was the newspaper article. Prabhupada continues, I've explained in detail the short life history. Under my photograph, I wrote in large letters, Ambassador of Bhakti Yoga. And then I wrote, chanting the holy name of God is among the religious practices of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, who arrived on Monday for a month's stay in the Butler area as a missionary in the West. Who arrived on Monday means, you know, he really just arrived. Pictured in the apartment of a sponsor in the United States, Gopal Agarwal, the Swamiji is residing in the YMCA and cooking his own meals at the Agarwal home. Every culture has religion, he says. We're all engaged in a service of some sort. The highest service is to the Supreme Lord. The scholar teacher has translated 60 volumes of Sanskrit scripture into English. You know, Prabhupada one time in New York was sitting in a park, and a Jewish man came and sat with him and asked him, you know, who are you, what you're doing? And Prabhupada explained a little. And the man said, oh, do you have any temples? And Prabhupada said, oh yes, we have many temples all around the world. At that time, they had one temple, 26 Second Avenue. So, you know, this was days after Prabhupada's arrived. He came with 3 volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, and he had also translated Bhagavad Gita but not published it yet. And Prabhupada says here, in his, he's presenting himself, the scholar teachers translated 60 volumes of Sanskrit scripture into English. Now, 70 years old, the appointed missionary to the United States was educated in India up to a Bachelor of Arts. He became a disciple in 1933 and received instructions until the death of his leader in 1936. So then Prabhupada continues. Let's see. To cross the Atlantic Ocean took 10 days. This great sea is usually full of storms and fog and is very disturbing. But by the mercy of Krishna, there was no disturbance. The captain of the ship, the main officer, told me, this kind of quiet Atlantic I have never seen in my life. I told them that this is only by Krishna's mercy, nothing else. After the troublesome storm in the Arabian Sea, I knew that if I had had to face a storm like that again, I would die. I'm thinking that the preaching will be very good here. I'm lecturing some days for an hour and some days for 1.5 hour. The people of America are now tasting some new thing. This is the first time I've come to a foreign country, crossing 12,000 miles. All here are outcasts. In brackets, not followers of the Varnashram Dharma system. Yet I am never afraid to speak in front of them. You can see, Prabhupada is just such a new experience for him. I'm never afraid to speak in front of them. For the first time in my life, I delivered a speech in a church. The main thing is that I'm alone and I'm in my old age. Because of this, crossing 12,000 miles in a ship, I became very sick. I passed through Asia, Europe, and Africa. I crossed these oceans and seas and became so sick. And he goes on. After some time, the captain of the ship purchased an electric stove for me in Port Said. I then cooked for myself and took prasad. If they hadn't managed the stove for me, then maybe there would have been no possibility of me reaching America. I could have died on the way. But instead Krishna mercifully brought me here. Why Krishna has brought me here, only he knows. So Prabhupada, he is in a condition of wonder, of surprise, and it's all so new to him, and he's just really tuning in to the situation in America. It is very expensive here. One room I found in the YMCA has a weekly rent of 55 rupees. That's 10 rands today. It is almost $1 now. 1996. This is a very, very expensive country. The laborers earn more than gentlemen of India. They are paid 80 to 85 or 90 rupees daily. Everybody has a motor car, since all the offices and markets are very far away. Every civilized person has one car, which costs 10,000 rupees each. In India, that same car would cost 50,000 rupees. People drive the cars themselves. They have no paid drivers to do it for them, nor do they keep servants. There are lakhs and lakhs of motor cars. When I came from New York to Butler, I saw that on two lanes, for 500 miles, there was a solid line of cars. There was no need of electric lights because there were so many cars. At night in the city, the shops are lit up and it appears like daytime. There are so many bridges and flyovers that the cars never need to pass each other on narrow roads. Every motor car is generally going not less than 50 miles per hour. Many houses are 25 to 30 stories high. In this neighborhood, there are cottages built on small plots. The people are very civilized, but they are Ugra. In brackets, high-tempered, not polite or humble. Today in New York, the Pope came. On television, everyone saw this. Television is an amazing thing. Just staying in one room, they can watch how the whole world is going on and how they are all corresponding with each other. Here, people are generally non-vegetarian. Without meat, they can't eat anything. I've been taking muri, puffed rice, and peanuts with mustard oil. Somewhere I found mustard oil. Everything is available, but the price is so high. I purchased 250 grams of mustard oil for 5 rupees. I had to travel to a shop 20 miles distant to get it. If you want to come to this country, reply to me. At his first sight of me, Srila Prabhupada saw me with great love, referring to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. At his first sight of me, Srila Prabhupada saw me with great love. It was in my very first darshan of Srila Prabhupada that I learned how to love. It is his boundless mercy that he has engaged an unworthy person like me in fulfilling some of his desires. It is his causeless mercy to engage me in preaching the message of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath. So Prabhupada's in the state, it's sort of like a state of a certain amount of wonderment, being in this different environment. And he is like a cultural oddity there. And it's very uncomfortable for him. Very uncomfortable. Just to get some mustard oil, he had to drive 20 miles or somewhere on the travel, 20 miles, and pay this high price, 5 rupees, for a quarter liter of mustard oil. So Srila Prabhupada, when he came to America, it was not like when, for example, someone like myself, I travel here and there, trying to do a little preaching and so on. And we arrive in somewhere, like I arrive sometimes in Moscow, and there's a group of devotees to meet me, and they take me to some nice apartment, and someone has prepared some nice prasadam, and you know, they sort of serve me hand and foot, literally, and everywhere. I would say basically everywhere we go now. It's like that, because Krishna consciousness is established so much, all over, it's amazing. Just all over. So, but when Prabhupada came, even just to be an Indian in that place was like, wow, what is that? Who is he? What is he? As he said in another part I don't have it here, that they think that people who believe in Bhagavan are insane. But still, Srila Prabhupada persevered. You know, on top of the cultural situation, the sociological situation, and all of that, on top of that, Prabhupada was 70 years old. I suppose we have a few people here who are 70 or even older, but imagine just going yourself to a completely different country on your own at the age of 70. Prabhupada had the equivalent of $7, something like that. Just a few dollars in actual money and some books. So what Prabhupada did is really very extraordinary. Very, very extraordinary. And it was very difficult, but Srila Prabhupada persevered. And we get a little hint in the, I think, the very last little passage I read. Prabhupada is saying that when I first met Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, I experienced love. On my first meeting, then I learned what is love. We have heard about that first meeting, of course, when Srila Prabhupada, he was a follower of Gandhi. He was wearing khadi, a hand loomed, you know, quite rough clothes. And he challenged Srila Bhaktisiddhanta that India is a dependent country. First of all, we have to get free from the British rule. And then we can establish and spread Krishna consciousness. But we are a captive nation. How can we do that? And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta replied that Krishna consciousness is so important, so exclusively important, it cannot wait. And then, well, just before that, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta told him the very first words that you're an educated young man, you should push our movement in the English language. And Prabhupada said when he, this is, you know, he offered obeisances, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said that as he was coming up and before he had actually sat down and sort of composed himself a little. And Prabhupada said afterwards that he thought, his initial thought was, what is this man? You know, I haven't even introduced, I haven't even told him my name. And he's telling me I should go to the Western world and preach in English. And I'm not even one of his followers. So in the course of their brief discussion, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta spoke to Prabhupada in such ways that Prabhupada said here, as we read just a minute, look at the beginning. At his first sight of me, Srila Prabhupada saw me with great love. It was in my very first darshan of Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, that I learned how to love. And what does that mean, I learned how to love? It is his boundless mercy that he engaged an unworthy person like me in fulfilling some of his desires. So in other words, Srila Prabhupada understood that that love, he had received that love from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta in the form of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's instruction to become a devotee and to become a preacher of devotional service. And that it was his duty as a recipient of that love to reciprocate by giving it to the people in general, the English-speaking people. Yeah. So, you know, there's so much we can say about this. It's really such an important point. How Prabhupada appreciated the love of his spiritual master to the point that he came to this very foreign place and stuck it out to spread the movement as a service to the spiritual master. And we, as humble aspiring devotees, we should really try to learn from that. You know, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta gave Srila Prabhupada an instruction which Prabhupada really didn't expect at all, to go to a foreign country and preach. We may also receive some instruction from our spiritual master to do something we don't expect. Go to a distant place like Tonga and distribute books at the market there. And we may think, oh, me? Distribute books? You mean I have to actually walk up to people and stop them? But what if they tell me to go and jump in the lake? Oh, I will just shrivel up and die. So, but we should try to embrace this consciousness, this mood of Srila Prabhupada, that my spiritual master gave me love. I never really experienced actual love before, but he gave me real love in the form of his transcendental instructions and engaging me in his mission. So we should try to follow in Srila Prabhupada's footsteps and take up that mission. I mean, in one sense, all of us here have, but I really mean, really try to make some effort to spread, or at least help spread, Krishna consciousness, and not just stick within our comfort zone. You know, comfort zone for many people means must be within, say, 25 meters of prasadam. Like, here we are. Don't worry, the prasadam's down the stairs. As the crow flies, you know, through the floor, it's probably within 25 meters of us or something like that. So we're in our comfort zone. It's okay. Prasadam is there. So that really making progress in Krishna consciousness means to go outside our comfort zones and really make an effort to help spread this movement. And that is the example of Srila Prabhupada in such a very big way. such a huge way. And because he did that, we all have got Christian consciousness. Yes. If he had not bothered to do that, then, well, I honestly hate, I really hate to think where I would be and, frankly, where any of us would be, actually. That we wouldn't be here happy in Krishna consciousness at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada at all. So because Prabhupada made that effort, well, you know, I got a very interesting letter. I received it this morning. The writer had emailed me some few weeks ago and told me he was going to send it to me. It was a letter, the original letter, that I had written him when I was the temple secretary in Bury Place, London. It was, I think it was the 4th or 7th of March, 1974. I wrote to him. He had written in to ask me some questions. He had got a book. So he wrote in. I answered the question. I answered the letter. You know, tried in my... I'd only been a devotee for 15 months or something at the time. So in whatever way I could, I wrote back. And so now he sent me the original letter. And now he is an initiated devotee. And he said he got that letter and it really influenced him. All those years ago, 40 years ago. So if we don't make the effort, Prabhupada made the effort, and here we are. We have received the mercy. And we should also try and make the effort, at least make some effort, to help push this movement and really accept that mood of Srila Prabhupada, follow in his footsteps. And then we'll make progress. Then we'll make real progress and feel real transformation for the better. And then in this way, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we make our lives successful. Hare Krishna. So now...